It's Tuesday, the 5th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Alex English. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Nike2532. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. If you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Nike2532, it's very straightforward. Just leave a review on iTunes, and you get to be that person who sponsors the show. So thank you to Nike, and thank you to the other hundreds of people who have left reviews. It goes so far into helping me improve the show. It goes a long way into helping to me make the show better, which is the same as improving, making it go full-time, better resources, all that sort of stuff, because it can bring on advertisers and bring on people looking to support the show through your reviews. So thank you for everyone doing that. Of course, there's moneyball.com.au, which is Australia's best daily fantasy sports site, and New Zealand's, of course. Go on there for all your NBA DFS action. And don't forget, there's A-League, there's Premier League, there's Big Bash, there's AFL, there's NRL, when that kicks off in a couple of months' time. So everyone who wants to jump on board with Moneyball, there's a lot of fantasy fun to be had there every single day. All right, we are back, and we're ready to talk some NBA. There are 11 games to kick off the week on Monday.
Let's get to it.
My finger was a little bit fat there to push the button. Michael Bolton said the word, so let's get going. The monstrous line of the night is Rajon Rondo. 43 minutes for Rondo in a massive, massive win for the Kings over the Thunder. 13 points, 9 rebounds, 19 assists, 5 steals. He had a block. He went 5 of 11 from the field, which is okay. You don't love the 3 of 8 from the free throw line, and you also don't really love the turnovers, but you know me. Guys don't necessarily have to contribute in all these areas, and you know that Rondo is going to be big on turnovers. You know that he's going to be big on free throws, so everything else he gave you was brilliant. 9 rebounds, 19 assists, 5 steals, a block, good field goal percentage from him, and some solid points. A really good night from Rajon Rondo, so he is my monstrous line of the night. There were plenty of other guys that I could have given it to, including a couple of players, you know, or at least one or two in the same game as this one, but Rondo is the guy for me. He's had a much better season than I was anywhere close to thinking he'd be like. He was he's back to his almost prime Boston days. He's averaging more assists than what he has since the 2011-12 season. He's averaging more points since then. The most three-pointers he's averaged basically in his career. His rebounds are back up to career-high level. His steals are back up as well. The last time he's averaged 2 steals a game was back in 2010-11, and he's almost at that at the moment. Yes, the percentages aren't great, but he's still taken his field goal percentage up 4% this year, and his free throws have gone up 10%, and that's pretty big. You still have to probably punt the free throws, or at least consider it as part of a punt when he's going 50% from the field. It is only on 2 attempts, though, so it's not a complete write-off. And the field goal percentage, he's almost right on average at 46% for the year, so not a big concern there, especially when he was 43 and 40 the two previous seasons. And actually shooting 35% from 3 as well, which again is his best figure in the last 6 years. So everything going right for Rajon Rondo. Don't really know what to put it to. To be honest, I know some people will say contract year, but let's be honest, he was in a contract year last year as well, and it was the worst season of his career. So putting stock in it being his contract year, and that's the reason why he's being so good, it doesn't really add up to me. But there's something that's happening. Maybe it's the Kings factor. Some people just like playing for the Kings. Rondo appears to be one of them. Omri Caspi is the other one who really flourishes in Sacramento. Maybe it's just that. Maybe it's playing with Boogie. Maybe it's playing with Rudy Gay that's helping his game. But everything is working real well for Rajon Rondo at the moment. So congratulations if you drafted him. And I remember I did draft him in 2 leagues on the same day. And after I did that, I did a podcast. And then I looked back and was shaking my head going, what the hell am I doing drafting Rajon Rondo in 2 leagues? It's worked out pretty well for me. And everyone else who ended up drafting him, he's been fantastic this season. The waiver wire line of the night for Monday goes to Ish Smith. Now, somehow he is only owned in 60% of leagues. I'm going to assume that's because 40% of leagues are inactive, but still, he might be around still. 30 minutes for Smith, 21 points, 4 rebounds, 11 assists, and 3 steals. Yes, he was coming off of two poor games, and he's shooting is going to fluctuate. He went 9 of 16 here, which is great. The two previous games, he was about 5 of about 40, it felt like. Wasn't quite that level, but he was hurting your field goal percentage significantly. But what he does is provide great assist numbers. He's giving you 7 assists a game over his last 7, you know, 12.5 points, 1.3 steals, and actually shooting a surprisingly high free throw percentage, considering he was a 60% guy last year, 56 the year before that, 43 the year before that. He's currently sitting at 79 this year. But finding those sort of assists, coupled with some nice rebounds and some nice steals, and add it with the occasional high-scoring game, it's very, not as very, you shouldn't be leaving Ish Smith on a waiver wire. He should be owned everywhere. He's grabbed the starting job in Philadelphia. He doesn't look like he's going to give it up anytime soon. There will be some nights where it's shaky, definitely, because the shot won't fall and he'll do some odd things. But overall, yeah, we pretty much know that Ish Smith needs to be owned. And I'd be shocked if anyone who's listening to this podcast, if Ish Smith is available in their league. If he is, please go and rectify that and make that change. The young gun of the night. This is another guy who should not be owned. Oh, sorry, who should not be unowned anywhere. Rod Hood of the Utah Jazz has been turning it up a couple of notches lately. 35 minutes for Rod. 23 points. He hit 5 triples. He had a rebound, but the 7 assists is what's great there. A steal. 6 of 9 shooting. Really, really great. The birth of Rod Hood Jr. did not impact his production. Over the last week, he's a 20-point-a-game guy at 3.8 triples, 5.5 rebounds, 4 assists, 0.8 steals, 0.8 blocks. To say he's a must-own player is an understatement. He's really thriving without Alec Burks. He showed this sort of potential towards the end of last season, and he is looking like a legit player. And the guy that, where he was drafted, I think the 23rd pick, he looks like he's going to be, oh yeah, 23rd pick. He looks like he is going to be, or has the potential to be a real, not even only a solid player, like he could develop into a star player. So for now, Rod Hood's a guy, well not for now, he has to be owned. I've owned him in quite a few leagues this season, and I've held on to him for all year. I haven't really dropped him, I don't think, in any leagues. No, I wouldn't have dropped him if I owned him. And now it's starting to come to fruition, and we're looking at a guy who could potentially end this season as a top 75 player. That's the sort of potential that I see in this guy at the moment. The only problem I have with him, injury proneness. He does have some injury concerns, nagging foot issues which bothered him most of last season, and he started off this year with a couple of problems as well. But otherwise, everything is full steam ahead for Big Rod. The dart of the night, Bob Cove. Robert Covington played 7 minutes. He had 1 rebound and 1 assist and missed his only field goal attempt and missed his only free throw attempt. He is just massively struggling. Now, before the game, Brett Brown came out and said that he's a little bit down. Yeah, he is a little bit down. He's shockingly down, to be honest, at the moment. Really, really struggling. Look, his seasonal rank, he's still 73rd on the year because he had a massive red-hot start. Everything is dropping off with him at the moment. We know that he's got significant potential. We know what he can do, but it looks like he's being phased out for whatever reason in Philadelphia, whether that's the addition of Colangelo, whether that's the addition of Mike D'Antoni, but things have been trending definitely in the wrong direction for Bob Cove. And if there's someone else you want to move on to get him, I don't think he's necessarily a must-hold. If you go 14-team leagues, then yes, I'm definitely holding on to him. But in some other leagues, in a 10-team leagues, I reckon you could probably move on. I am personally holding him in a 10-team league that I own him because I'm sitting third and you're going pretty well. But we'll see how that plays out at the end of the week. I might not end up holding him. We'll see. In a 12-team league, it's touch and go. It depends really on who you're adding, but by no means is he a lock-in, must-hold sort of player, which is really unfortunate because we know the potential that he has. We saw earlier this year that 8 steal game that he had. He can hit buckets of threes. He scores. He gets rebounds. He's normally a really good free throw shooter. Everything is falling completely off at the moment. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something off the court that's bothering him because this sort of, you know, just massive drop in everything, it doesn't just seem like he forgot how to play. Maybe last year was a complete fluke. I doubt it, but everything is not as it seems with Bob Cove this season. Unfortunately. All right, let's now bring up the perfect lineup from yesterday for DFS purposes before we head into the box score breakdown portion of the show. There we go. So Monday's perfect lineup. You would have had Rajon Rondo at point guard giving you 58.3 points and Ish Smith at the other spot going 44.3. The Smith pick was It was a pretty straightforward run. I think Rondo was also in a good spot. He'd put up nice numbers the night before. Going against Russell Westbrook, especially when we knew that Kevin Durant was out, that means Westbrook has to take more offensive responsibility and he's less focused defensively. So that I think that does mean that opposition point guards against the Kevin Durant-less Oklahoma City Thunder really can thrive. And Rondo put up a big one. At shooting guard, Victor Oladipo at 35.9. He moved back into the starting lineup. We're going to talk about him in a sec and had his best game probably for the season. Once you knew that he was maybe going to start, you would have looked at using him. Prior to that, you had no real reason to go, I'm going to go and add Victor Oladipo to my DFS lineup. Jeremy Lamb at 32.1, he was just a complete flyer guy. Hard to think that he would have played as many minutes or played as well as he did against the Warriors and with Jeremy Lin back. At small forward, Paul George has returned to his early season form, 46.4, and Jay Crowder went 41.7 points. Red hot at the moment, Jay Crowder, the guy that I hope I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, really putting in some big, big games for the Celtics. You want to talk about out of the blue, Zach Randolph. With Matt Barnes coming back, Zach Randolph was on the bench. He'd been benched for Tony Allen. So he'd been benched for both Tony Allen and Matt Barnes this year. But in this one, he went massive. He scored 51.1 fantasy points, played over 30 minutes. I don't know how you could have predicted that Zach Randolph was going to do that. It was completely out of character, but out of what we've seen from him over the last month. So congratulations if you went with that. Pretty lucky, I reckon, if you did. And Serge Ibaka at 43.9. The Kings do allow power forwards to go big, and he went huge here. Speaking of going huge, DeMarcus Cousins was the best overall DFS value, not even value guy. He gave us the most DFS points yesterday, 60.3. Really tore up the Thunder inside, and he was a guy that was always worth a look at his price, which is now under $10,000. All right, that is it for the optimal lineup. Let's now look at these games in that extra bit of detail and see what sort of information we can get from all the action that went down on Monday. Where are we? Here we go. The first game of the night was the Toronto Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Raptors got beaten pretty comprehensively in this one. Damari Carroll was a late withdrawal with a swollen knee. He's been having problems with that knee all season. Not only is it causing him to miss games, it's also causing him to play pretty shit house, to be honest. He hasn't been great. And we know his potential. We know what he did in Atlanta, but there are two things that are preventing him from reaching that sort of level. A, he's not in Atlanta anymore. And B, his knee. In his last six games, he's only played 24 minutes a game, less than 10 points. He's shooting only 40%, which is actually higher than the 39% he's shooting this year. And that's coming from a guy who was at 49% last year. He is shooting 29% from the free throw line in his last six games. He is way, way off. There's definitely a comfort factor, and the injury factor is really, really hurting Damari Carroll. Is there anything that's improved from him from last year? His scoring is down. His three-pointers are marginally up. Rebounds down, assists down, steals are up as well, but that's since coming back from injury, they're way down as well. And percentages is completely in the tank. I can understand if you don't want to hold Damari Carroll with his knee being a problem. In a 10-team league, absolutely, I reckon you can find better options out there. In a 12-team league, I'd probably be a little bit more hesitant about moving on from him, but I can understand that the rationale would look, this guy's just up and down, he's killing my percentages. It's hard to trade him away for any value at the moment, just not giving us anything good at the moment. James Johnson got the start, played 23 minutes for 5 points. Even if Carroll remains out for a bit of time, James Johnson, Corey Joseph, Terrence Ross are going to get most of the run and split it to a degree, so I don't think Johnson's a must-add. Ross went back up to 28 minutes and had 6 points with 3 steals. He was putting up good numbers when Carroll was out, so in a 14-team league, if he happened to be dropped, I'd go and add him and maybe consider it in a 12-10 league, but probably not. Kyle Lowry was big, 23, 4, and 10, 2 steals, a block, and 3 triples. He had a great overall night, and DeMar DeRozan, not his greatest, but still 19 points on 53% shooting, had 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. So a pretty good night from DeMar, and Patrick Patterson was one of the two useless power forwards who was able to get going in this one. It was Luis Scola in the last game, 26 points for Patterson, 26 minutes for Patterson, 15 points, and 3 triples. Him and Scola are not worth owning in a 12-team format. Bismack Biyombo, just 18 minutes for him, 10 and 5 with a block, while Jonas Valanciunas went 9 and 8 with 2 blocks in his 27 minutes. Definitely hasn't ramped it back up yet, Valanciunas, but still giving you enough value that you obviously have to hold on to him. For the Cavs, Kyrie Irving, 29 minutes for him, but 25, 6 and 8, 2 threes on 10 of 16 shooting. That's obviously impressive, and that's the sort of thing where we go, yeah, I'm glad that I ended up drafting him. Hopefully he didn't fall in too big of a hole, but yeah, that sort of performance, we're talking top 15 value that you might have been able to get in the 40s. Now, I drafted him in one league at about pick 41, and I had him stashed in IR. I actually just activated him for today, so I'm pretty happy to go and grab him. Pretty happy to get him into my lineup with this sort of performance, and fingers crossed that he stays healthy. Kevin Love, all over the board defensively, 2 steals and 3 blocks, 14 points, 9 rebounds and a couple of threes, so a pretty good overall line from him. And LeBron just getting by, doing sort of not much, 22 and 7, 3 steals and a 3, still pretty good line, but it's not LeBron-esque. And J.R. Smith got hot from 3, he went 8 from 14, 24 points, all of them from 3, 3 rebounds and an assist. The only value he really gives you, though, is three-pointers. Not a must-own guy to me, but if I saw him on a roster, I wouldn't be like, what's this guy doing? He's wrong. Just that with so many guys there, Smith, Dellavedova, Iman Shumpert, Mo Williams, who didn't play in this one, and I feel that could be something that continues on for a big chunk of the season. James Jones, he seems to get little minutes here and there. It's going to limit Smith's upside. And if he's not getting hot, then he's not going to do much. And he'll have his minutes limited because they'll just go to Dele. They'll go to Shumpert. They'll go to Jones. They'll go to Jefferson. They'll go to Jared Cunningham. You know, Williams will get in the rotation. There's just so many guys who can play the 2 and the 3 in Cleveland at the moment. Tristan Thompson still started 31 minutes, 14 and 11 with a block for him. The next game, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Philadelphia 76ers. Whew, jeez, this was not ideal for the Timberwolves. Karl Anthony Towns battled early foul trouble, ended with 4 fouls in 25 minutes. Wasn't his greatest night, 8 and 6. I thought that he'd want to get out there and really show Jahlil Okafor, whose boss didn't. Unfortunately, the fouls bothered him a lot and was restricted early. And Sam Mitchell just continues to confound me with what he does with this team and the rotation. Still no Kevin Martin, and Zach LaVine's minutes are going down. 18 minutes for LaVine here, 5 points, 2 assists, 2 steals. Really hard to continue to hold him. This is like 5 or 6 games in a row for LaVine where he's doing nothing, and you might be missing out on someone else. I'm okay moving on from him. Nemanja Bjelica played 21 minutes. Yep, good. 5 points and 3 assists for him. Andrew Wiggins, just the 16 points, only played 25 minutes here. Wiggins, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal and 2 blocks. Actually better production from him than what you normally get. But Shabazz Muhammad was probably the biggest winner here. He played 34 minutes, had 20 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and a 3. The problem with Muhammad is that he needs big minutes because all he gives you really is points and rebounds and a decent field goal percentage. He's like a TJ Warren sort of guy. And is he going to be in a position to get 30 minutes going forward? I would say not. So I don't think that we're looking to add Shabazz Muhammad in any standard formats. Gorgui Dieng bounced back with a nice game, 14 and 8, 2 steals and 2 blocks. And he's continuing to get consistent minutes, so I am pretty happy with that. And Rick Rubio, 7 points for him, 10 assists and 3 steals. And of course, 3 of 11 from the field. That's pretty standard for him. Let's check in on Tayshaun Prince. What did he do? Yep, nothing. Oh, that's not true. He had 8 points in his 20 minutes that is taking 20 minutes away from someone else. And of course, Sam Mitchell, he had to bring Andre Miller in to play 11 minutes and give Tyus Jones 2. Why? Why? Just play Tyus Jones. The game was over. Let Andre Miller do his coaching in the locker room. Let him be mentor. Don't play him over a guy you're trying to develop. Stupid. The 76ers. TJ McConnell has played his way into the backup point guard role. Definitely 18 minutes here. 9, 4, and 6 for McConnell with 4 steals and a 3. So a really nice overall line. I don't think that we need to be concerned about him in standard leagues, though. But Kendall Marshall didn't play at all. And Isaiah Cannon went to the bench and played just 10 minutes here. With Cannon going to the bench, Nick Stauskas got the start. He's been getting close to 30 minutes for the last couple of games. He's not doing that much with it, though. 5, 4, and 3 with a triple, so don't need to get too excited there. And Jeremy Grant started at the 3 alongside Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel. Now, Okafor was bad. 10 and 3 for him with 2 steals and a block. And Jeremy Grant was worse. 2 points, 3 assists, and 2 blocks in 22 minutes. Now, both Okafor and Grant provided defensive numbers, but overall their line was not impressive. The Sixers went big, but interesting to see how long they stick with that, with Grant at the 3, if Okafor is going to continue to start with Noel. Now, the thing we really wanted to notice was, what did Okafor do to Noel's value? Well, Noel was still pretty good. 31 minutes for Nerlens, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks on 5 of 6 shooting. You're very, very happy with that with Nerlens. And hopefully this Ish Smith pairing is what's really driving him, not necessarily the absence of Okafor. And we saw that today, that Noel played more minutes than, way more minutes than Okafor, and was a lot more productive and is the better fantasy option by a considerable distance. Hollis Thompson also returned to action, but I'm sure so many of you care about that. The Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets. No Avery Bradley, and he's with no timetable to return. Brad Stevens, I'm sure you're shocked at this, but Brad Stevens actually tinkered with his lineup. It's a massive, massive shock. Jared Sullinger went to the bench, and my boy Kelly Olynyk moved into the starting lineup. Olynyk played 34 minutes, which I loved. I didn't love his production, but 34 minutes is great. 9-4-2, a 3 and a block. You know that I'm all over Olynyk's per 36 numbers if he gets an opportunity. I am not stupid enough to think that 34 minutes is going to be his normal allocation. He'll probably play 24 in the next one. But I'm all over getting Olynyk and hoping that it works out in the right direction for him, because he's their best big man. Now, Sullinger moved to the bench and he'd been terrible, but had his best game in a long stretch. 18 minutes for Sullinger, 12-10 with a 3 and 3 steals. Hard to really own him if he's only going to get 18 minutes, but that production's great. So if you didn't drop him, hold on. Amir Johnson's a guy that you have to start considering. I picked him up in a 12-team league yesterday. He played 28 minutes, went 12-4, had a steal, 2 blocks, and was great with his field goal percentage. He's normally a pretty decent free throw guy as well. He can occasionally hit threes and really starting to work his way back in, even though he's dealing with that plantar fasciitis and has had chronic ankle injuries over his career. Jay Crowder, I mentioned him earlier, 25-6, 2 threes, 3 steals, 1 block. Really turned the corner this year. He was decent last year, but I think people got excited about his play last year and it never really showed up in the stat sheet, but this year he's been fantastic. He's a career highs in basically every, in every single category. He's putting up career high numbers. He's becoming more of a dominant player in this team and looks as a fantastic fantasy asset. Evan Turner's probably the big winner of the Avery Bradley injury. 37 minutes here, 36 in yesterday's game, 12-11-3 with a block. And while Bradley's out, and if Turner plays 30 minutes, we know he can have fantasy value. He gives you good rebounds, pretty good assists, can occasionally get a steal, doesn't do much in many other categories, but his ability to give you 5 or 6 assists can be key. So I'd be looking at Evan Turner in lots of spots, at least until Avery Bradley returns. Isaiah Thomas went 19-3-7. That's a pretty stock standard night from him. And Marcus Smart, only 24 minutes, but still a nice night line. 7-4-3 with a steal. He is definitely going to be a 12-team league guy within the next couple of weeks. Good to see also that David Lee didn't play. I'm sure David Lee's family, who is listening, and David Lee himself, won't be glad for me to say that it was good that he didn't play, but he doesn't need to play. Get your Repco out there for some minutes. Get Olynyk, get Johnson, get Sullinger. There's your front court. Lee provides nothing to this team at this point. On the Nets, Shane Larkin wasn't a good start. 27 minutes for Larkin. I like the fact that he played 27 minutes. 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Not his greatest performance. Do not drop him after this. Let's just see how it works out. He's still going to be a guy who can approach 6 assists and 2 steals, and that can be super valuable. Donald Sloan played 21 minutes as his backup, 5-4-3 with a 3 and a steal. I'm not getting overly excited with Sloan, but he's definitely in the deeper league conversation. Joe Johnson's 2 games without Jarrett Jack, 2 big ones. 21-6-4 for Johnson with 2 threes. Now, throughout the season, he's been a really solid source of assists, but his shooting has been that bad that his scoring has been terrible and his field goal percentage has been just brutally bad. He's averaging 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.3 threes and a steal this season, so that looks good. If he takes his field goal percentage up from 36 up to 44 and goes from 11 points up to 16 or 15 points, then all those other numbers look fantastic. His 80% free throws look great, and then he becomes a guy that you pretty much have to own in standard leagues. Can we rely on this field goal percentage coming up? Don't know. The extra usage should be there with Jack out. So I'd look to Johnson if you're looking for some sneaky assists that you're not, you don't really think about it when you associate Joe Johnson, but points and threes is the big thing that he's going to be able to offer. So have a look at him. Bojan Bogdanovic was also good, 12-12 in 34 minutes, 3 assists and 2 blocks, and he took 14 shots. He only hit 3 of them, but it could have been a much bigger night from Bogdanovic, so I'm okay with grabbing him in 12-team leagues as well. Wayne Ellington also got a bump. He played 27 minutes for 8 points, but he is pretty much as streaky as they come, so I don't think we need to worry too much about him from a fantasy point of view at the moment. Now, the Magic and the Pistons, the Magic got absolutely caned. Alfred Payton was out with ankle problems, so Victor Oladipo started, and apparently Oladipo was going to start anyway, even if Payton played. So read into that what you will about Payton's future, but I'm not dropping Alfred just yet. Let's wait and see exactly what happens when he does return. Oladipo's best game in a while. 18-7-5, hit a three, had two steals, and went 7 of 11 from the field, and this is exactly what his owners were wanting for him to get out there and him to get unleashed and play 34 minutes or 35 minutes, and he did it, and let's hope it's a consistent thing. The rest of the team, it was just yuck. 26 minutes for Evan Fournier, 0 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Nick Vucevic went 16-3-3 in 24 minutes. He was restricted by Skiles' rotations. Channing Frye played 14 minutes, but Aaron Gordon another 25 minutes. And it's so hard to know, is this the truth, or is it the fact that they're getting their ass kicked so often that he's getting these extra minutes? Don't know. 25 for Gordon, didn't do much. 2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, but he does have upside. So if you're in a spot where you can, say you've got an extra bench spot or you're cruising at the moment, the potential's there for him, but I wouldn't let him just sit there for too long if he can't turn 25 minutes into something productive. Shabazz Napier got some extra run here, 27 minutes for him, 10 points, 2 threes, 2 assists, and 2 steals, and he has some sneaky short-term value in some 14-team leagues. Andrew Nicholson also had a pretty good game after really fading away, 14-7 with a couple of threes. Don't get too excited about Andy Nicholson. On the Pistons, KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 21-6 and had 5 triples, a good night from him. But probably the story that everyone wants to hear about is Brandon Jennings playing 18 minutes, had 17 points in that 18 minutes, 6 assists, 3 threes, and a steal. That's great. And it's, look, if you get that from in a 12-team league, you love it. But it's only 18 minutes. The idea of that being replicable in 18 minutes is foolhardy to me. I don't think that that's possible. I've said it for a while. In a 14-team league, he absolutely has to be owned because he does have 21, 22-minute upside, I think. But that sort of upside is not enough for a 12-team league. If you're sitting pretty and you're at the top of the league or you really need some assists, I can understand Andy Jennings. But guys who hover in the 18 to 21-minute range aren't normally standard league contributors. And I think that's where Jennings is gonna sit. The Pistons had this one under control, so they were able to empty their bench a little bit and get some of these guys some extra run. Reggie Jackson played just 26 minutes, but don't think that's because he was benched for Brandon Jennings. He went 14-3-7. All you need to look at is that Marcus Morris played under 30 minutes, Andre Drummond played under 29 minutes, and Ersan Ilyasova played just 28 minutes. And these are guys who are consistently pushing 35, 36, maybe not Ilyasova so much, but Drummond and Morris, they're the big minute brigade, and when they're getting 6 minutes less, you know that it's because the game is pretty much under control. Ilyasova, 10-4 with 2 threes and 2 steals, just another solid line for him. I think he should be owned in pretty much all leagues. And Stanley Johnson, 6-7, added 2 steals and 2 threes, and just another 25 minutes for him. He just keeps getting these 25-minute runs and not ready to break out just yet, but let's just watch this space, I think, with I've got his name, with Stanley Johnson. The Indiana Pacers and the Miami Heat, another good game from Paul George, 32-7, 5 threes, 2 assists, and 2 steals. Still hurt your field goals, going 12 of 29, but the slump looks to be over for the time being, so that's great news for him and his owners. CJ Miles had some issues with his shoulder, lasted just 7 minutes, 7 points and 2 threes. He'd been dropping off a little bit. The injuries do happen with him quite often, so if there's someone you want to go and add in a shallower sort of format, yep, that's okay. Lavoy Allen got the start in this one. With Miles, let's try that again. Lavoy Allen got the start in this one because George Hill was out. Sorry, Monte Ellis played at point guard. Miles moved down to the 2 and Paul George moved down to the 3. So Allen played 23 minutes and went 2-2. Nothing exciting there. Yan Mahimi played 33 minutes and that's encouraging. 13-9 with a block. I'm a pretty big, and that's a very relative term, fan of Yan Mahimi, but I think that he has value in 12-team leagues. And Jordan Hill just gets it done. 10-12, a steal and a block. His upside is limited because of these other guys like Allen and like Miles Turner, who played just 7 minutes here. But he gets a lot of rebounds, he gets a high field goal percentage, and that can be useful if you use it in the right spot. Monte Ellis had a really good game at point guard, 17-3-9. You love those 9 assists and was really efficient as well. He's been up and down this season, but definitely one of his better performances. And Rod Starkey played 30 minutes, went 12-5-3. Not an efficient night, though, for Rodney. On the Heat, Hassan Whiteside was out with a knee bruise, so Chris Bosh played most of his minutes at centre. They made the token start of putting the Birdman, Chris Anderson, there. Played him just 10 minutes, but in essence, they went small with Bosh at the five. Bosh played 42 minutes, went 31 and 11, had 2 threes, a steal, and a block, and he's having a very, very underrated season. Dwayne Wade, 38 minutes, 27 and 8, and Goran Dragic played 39 minutes, went 13, 5 and 4. So the big names all producing pretty much what we sort of expect, with Wade and Bosh going a little bit over. Now, Tyler Johnson was probably the biggest winner from Hassan Whiteside's absence. He played 36 minutes, but just went 8 and 8 with a steal. He's not worth owning in 12-team leagues, nor is Justice Winslow, who went 7 and 6 in his 36 minutes, and Luol Deng played just 27 for 8 points, so not much value for any of those guys. And Gerald Green was back down to 16 minutes. He did have a triple one in that 16 minutes, but your peripheral stats from him have been pretty few and far between this season. The Sacramento Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder, DeMarcus Cousins, added to Rajon Rondo's big night. He went 33-19, had 2 triples, had 2 blocks, and went 9 of 10 from the free throw line. He was also just 11 of 27 from the field, but still a pretty good night from Boogie. Omri Caspi was out in this one. Ben McLemore and Quincy Acey started, and they combined for 12 minutes. McLemore dealt with some back issues. Acey dealt with some lack of talent issues, and that restricted their minutes in the game. Acey put up 1 rebound in his 5 minutes. He obviously has no fantasy appeal, and neither does McLemore. Marco Bellinelli got big run. 34 minutes for him, 21 points and 2 triples with a steal. Let's wait and see if Caspi's injury is serious at all. But Bellinelli has very limited appeal. He can score, but he's not going to do much in many of the other areas. Costa Kufos also had a big game. 8 and 8 in 29 minutes with 4 blocks. Big game from him. He's a deeper league guy, though, at this point. And Willie Cauley-Stein, his first game back after hurting his finger, cut another one of his fingers. He did play 15 minutes, and he looks like he's going to be fine to play through it. 8 and 3 with a block, and he can be left for keeper and dynasty type formats. Rudy Gay just chucked in a quiet 16 and 5 as well. On the Thunder, Serge Ibaka went 25 and 7. He hit 3 triples, had a steal and 5 blocks in what was a huge night for him. And Russ Westbrook went 17, 8 and 15 with 2 threes and a steal, but a brutal 6 of 23 shooting for Russ. Anthony Morrow replaced KD in the starting lineup, who was out with a sprained toe. Morrow played 34 minutes, had 20 points and 3 threes, and that's exactly what he is, a dead-eye 3-point shooter who does nothing else. Steven Adams was also pretty impressive here, 15 and 10 in 27 minutes, while Enes Kanter was reduced to just 16 minutes there, and that's why it's real tough to own him in a 12-team league. I know you're itching to know what my boy Campaign did in this one. Well, he played 19 minutes, had 11 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, and a triple one. He just is carving himself a very solid role. He played next to Westbrook in this game quite a bit. DJ Augustine is done in the rotation for the time being. Payne is an absolute must own if something happened to Russell Westbrook. For now, we'll leave him for deeper formats, maybe 14-team leagues. But he just has an uncanny knack to rack up fantasy stats. And if he's pressed into a 30-minute role, if he was on the Philadelphia 76ers, there would be some crazy, crazy lines coming from him. I am convinced. Maybe I go a bit overboard on Campaign. Maybe that's my next jersey that I buy, a Cameron Payne jersey. But he is, for fantasy anyway, he has got a ton of talent, and I think he's going to be a really good NBA point guard. Really good. Mitch McGarry, another guy who's a real good fantasy point per minute, or fantasy per 36 guy, he was back in the rotation, played just 2 minutes. But don't think we care too much about Mitch McGarry. San Antonio Spurs and the Milwaukee Bucks. Jesus, the Spurs just killed them again. They kill everybody. It's amazing at the moment. Kawhi had 24 points, 2 steals, a block, and 3 threes on 9 of 12 shooting. This guy is just insane. Tim Duncan returned 14 and 10, 2 steals and a block. That's more the Timmy that we know. And Boris Diaw with another solid night, 14 and 4. And Manu Ginobili went 8, 4 and 7, 2 steals and 2 threes for Manu. You know my thoughts on Manu. He does have value in a 12-team league. Boris probably a little bit deeper than that, but just providing some nice numbers. Tony Parker was out in this one. I thought they'd go and start Ray McCallum as they did earlier this season. They didn't. They started Patty Mills, and he played 28 minutes. 10 points, 3 triples, and 5 assists for Mills. As long as Parker remains out, Mills has borderline 12-team league value. How about that Danny Green breakout? I need a crickets sound effect. Danny Green, 14 minutes, 3 points with a triple one, but didn't work out so well. So if you picked him back up, maybe give it another game. But remember, that was one game, and there was a 35 other bad ones in there as well. LaMarcus Aldridge, 16-11, ho-hum. That's what he does now, and it's top 75 sort of value. And Jonathan Simmons really took it up a notch in this game as well. 18 points for him in 20 minutes. Not much else to talk about with the Spurs. They just destroyed them. On to the Bucks. Big game from Michael Carter-Williams, a triple one, 16-4-6 on really efficient shooting. A good night from him. Didn't have a turnover as well, and hit his only three-point attempt. He's solidified that role as a starting point guard for now, and I think it's pretty solid with Jared Bayless hurting that same ankle again that caused him to miss about 11 games throughout December. Bayless lasted 7 minutes here. I think this is what this is going to do, is going to allow OJ Mayo to get back to a 25-26-minute role. Mayo was disgustingly bad in this game, though. It had gone off, the Mayo. 24 minutes for him, one assist, one steal. Not a good night. But when he was playing 30 minutes early this season, he was a guy that you had to own. Watch this space. Maybe if you're in desperate need of a shooting guard who can give you four assists, he's someone to look at. But Bayless looks like he's going to be sidelined again for a little bit of time. Giannis Antetokounmpo was questionable with that tooth chip. He played 30 minutes, 11-4 with a steal and a block, and Greg Monro went 15-8, two steals and a block. So good nights from those guys, and even Chris Middleton with Kawhi on him went 19-3-4. But overall, they just got absolutely hammered by the San Antonio Spurs. The Houston Rockets and the Utah Jazz. Trevor Ariza's been quiet this year, but this is a Trevor Ariza game of old. 13-4, but three triples and four steals, and that's where his value comes from. And James Harden went 35-7 with four triples and a block. Dwight Howard played 41 minutes. Let's see if that impacts him at all moving forward. 16-13, a steal and a block. A nice night from Dwight. And what about that point guard? There was no Ty Lawson. Patrick Beverley played just 23 minutes. That's because Jason Terry played 31. Yeah. 31 minutes for Terry. 9 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a 3. He's only a guy to look at in deeper leagues, but still a pretty weird situation when Jason Terry's getting that many minutes. The power forwards. Clint Capela played the most minutes. Fortunately, it was only 20. 2 points, 5 rebounds for him. Terrence Jones, 2 points in 15 minutes. And Montrezl Harrell had 2 points, 2 rebounds in his 17 minutes. I haven't said it for a while, but Terrence Jones doesn't need to be owned in 12-team leagues. And not only doesn't need to be, he shouldn't be owned in 12-team leagues. Capela, not a must-own, but for certain teams, yes. There was no Donatas Motiejunas in this game. There was no Ty Lawson. There was no Marcus Thornton. And Jones and Capela couldn't do anything. This team is a mess. They still got the victory, which they should never have been able to do, but they did. And yeah, just don't hold on to Jones. I can't endorse that. On the Jazz, Gordon Hayward, 27-3. Three threes, three steals, one block. A great all-round performance. And no Derek Favors again. Jeff Withey just dominating and destroying souls. 35 minutes for Withey. 8 points, 11 rebounds, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. He has been out of control as a starter. The problem is with the Derek Favors issue is that Favors is like, oh, he's going to go and warm up. Yeah, he's warming up. He's in shoot-around. And he's going to play. Then he doesn't play for 2 weeks. Withey has played in the last 7 games, 27 minutes a game, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 1.5 steals, 2.5 blocks. That's superb value. But basically, if Derek Favors was a game-time decision every one of those games, you can go and add Withey. But does it last for the rest of this week? Who knows? Who knows what they're going to do with Favors? For one that was supposed to be a game-time decision one game, it stretched into a pretty significant back injury. And we know that back injuries can be troublesome. So what do we do? If you've got a spot, go and add Withey in case this thing lingers even further. My guess that he's back Favors sometime this week. But I've been thinking that for a week. Hal Neto played 19 minutes, wasn't good, and Trey Burke played 29 minutes and went 10-5-3. That's a pretty average sort of line from him. Trevor Booker got his standard 26 minutes, grabbed 7 rebounds, and didn't do a huge amount with that, which is pretty much come to be expected at this point. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Portland Trail Blazers. I don't know what to say about the play of Zach Randolph here. He's been bad all year. Matt Barnes returned and started. Tony Allen went to the bench, and Randolph played 31 minutes. He went 26-18. He had a steal. That's a huge night from Zach Randolph. He basically hasn't done that all season. You can add him if he's available in a 12-team league for rebounds, but this is feels like a blast from the past and not something. He'll be most likely back to 24 minutes in the next game. When you lose your job to Tony Allen, who is not good anymore, let's be honest. He lost his job to Matt Barnes, who was then suspended, and then lost it to Tony Allen while the suspension was on. So Randolph hasn't been traveling that well. Big game here, though. Courtney Lee was also big, 16-3-3 with a couple of steals. very hard to rely upon him. And Mike Conley, he was dealing with some back issues before the game, only played 26 minutes, and that allowed Mario Chalmers to play 22 and go for 10.6 assists and 2 steals, while Conley went 9, 2, and 4. So not a great night from Conley, and not a great night from Jeff Green, who went 6 and 6 in his 29 minutes. Matt Barnes returned, 26 minutes as the starter, not a great amount of minutes, 3 points on 5 missed shots, so that's obviously not ideal, but 6 rebounds and 3 steals. He's going to be a defensive guy, steals, some blocks, some 3-pointers, a triple one sort of guy, and I still think that he should probably be owned in 12-10 leagues, but there's just a lot of guys there, Lee, Allen, Barnes, Green, Chalmers throwing his hat in there, Randolph now coming back as well. There's a lot of guys there who's probably going to limit Barnes' upside somewhat. On the Blazers, Al-Farouq Aminu had his best game for quite a while, 15 and 14 with 2 threes and a steal. And Damian Lillard finally returned. He was bad, 4 of 14, not good shooting. 17 points, 2 threes, 7 assists and a steal though. It still helps you out. CJ McCollum returned to normalcy, 16 points with 4 assists and a steal. And Alan Crabb still played 32 minutes off the bench with Lillard back. 9 and 6 for Crabb with a steal. He's not someone that I want to own in 12-team leagues. Myers Leonard down to 16 minutes, that's yuck. Mason Plumlee, just 23 minutes. That was also yuck. I still think that Plumlee should be owned, and Leonard is a borderline guy to me. But with Lillard back, I think Leonard's value might dip a little bit. The last game of the night is the Charlotte Hornets and the Golden State Warriors. Jeremy Lamb, I touched on earlier, he had a red-hot shooting night. 9 of 14 for 30 minutes, 22 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 3 steals. I'm not getting overly excited about that. And Kemba Walker went 22 and 7 with 3 assists. So a little bit down on his recent performances, but still a good night from Kemba. Jeremy Lin played 31 minutes, 13 points, a three rebounds, and an assist. I'm big on him being owned in 12-team leagues. And Spencer Hawes returned from his back issue, but Cody Zeller still played 28 minutes, and Frank Kaminsky still played 26. Zeller, 8 and 10 with 2 steals and a block. You know my thoughts on Cody Zeller by now. Kaminsky, 6, 5 and 3. He's more for deeper leagues. Marvin Williams, 8 and 6 in his 30 minutes. Not the biggest Marvin Williams fan, but you still have to keep holding him at this point. Draymond Green had his third consecutive triple-double. 13, 15 and 10. He had a 3, he had a steal, he had 2 blocks. He's been absolutely incredible this season, Draymond. Another big, big night from him. And Steph Curry returned. Didn't think he was going to play, but he did, and he played well. 30 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 5 triples. So back in business for him, while Klay went 35 and 3 with 6 threes and another block. So the big names really kicking things off there. Now, Harrison Barnes made his return from that ankle injury that cost him basically all of December. Just 20 minutes for Barnes, 8 points and a block. His minutes will ramp up, but he is not a guy that I think is a must-go-and-grab Harrison Barnes, because his upside is limited by the other players on this team. Andrew Bogut played 30 minutes, 2 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 blocks. So not a bad sort of performance from him, and he can only be owned in certain situations, but not many 12-team league teams will want much to do with Andrew Bogut. Sean Livingston, interestingly, was limited to just 8 minutes in this game for 1 assist. He'd been getting consistent around 20 minutes even when Curry was playing, but they went with more. They gave Maurice Spates more minutes. Obviously, Barnes was back. Ian Clark got 18 minutes. Don't think that'll be a consistent thing for Sean Livingston. That's the guy. I don't think that'll be a consistent thing for him moving forward. I think he'll move back into that 18 to 20 minute role pretty soon. So the guys in deeper leagues that own him are not going to be overly concerned by that by this dip until we see that happen for a couple of games in a row. All right, that does it for the daily roundup of games. Yeah, daily summary of games. What we're going to do now is have a break. I'm going to get some water and play a little bit of a song for you, and we're going to be back with the DFS preview for Tuesday. Today's song is a new song from one of the very good supporter of the program, Trey Mowder. He's actually in the Red Rock Dynasty League. It's his band, which is called Arcade at Midnight, and the song is called Better Off Alone.
Now I had a dream of you on that cold September night. I had
back now to talk some daily fantasy basketball. Don't think that's Trey singing. So Trey, if you're listening, let me know what instrument do you play in that band. And the band again is called, geez, I've forgotten now. Arcade at Midnight. Yeah, that's the one. And the song's called Better Off Alone. So go and hit Trey up on Twitter. I think his Twitter account is @VeggieTrey. And if you want any more information on his band, and Trey, let us know what instrument you actually play in that band. And it's great to see all these Red Rock listeners who are in bands and playing music. And if you want to get your song on a show, let me know. And we can see if we can fit it in and rotate these songs we play in the middle. I'm all for helping you guys support me significantly. And I'm all for giving exposure to things that you do like bands. I've got a listener who does great NBA artwork, who I've mentioned before, and stuff like that I find interesting. I'll talk about it on the show. So if you are in a band, and again, if you want to have your song on the program, let me know, and we can go from there and see what we can do. But that was Trey Mowder and his band. What do I keep forgetting it? Alone? No, Arcade After Midnight. That's what it's called. Arcade After Midnight. Sorry, Trey. All right, games. The first one is, there are only four games on. The first one is the Milwaukee Bucks and the Chicago Bulls. Derrick Rose is obviously the biggest question mark here. He's dealing with the hamstring and some knee issues. He reckons he's going to be able to play, but it's Derrick Rose, so who knows. As for the Bucks, Jared Bayless will likely be out. Now, Bobby Portis was not good in the last game, but he's priced at $3,900. We know he's got 25-point upside here, and it's a nice matchup. He's worth looking at in a tournament, as is Nikola Mirotic at $4,700. Both of those guys, I think, are in really nice spots to put up numbers. I think that if Rose is out especially, Mirotic becomes a better play. Mirotic is actually averaging 25 points across his last five games, with some big games and a couple of duds in there. But without Rose, I think they need to rely upon him more for some offense. So I think that Mirotic, and against this Bucks team, who does allow their big men to put up some nice numbers, Mirotic is a nice option, and Portis is a nice tournament play at only $3,900. He could get hot. He could put up some big numbers. I like Taj Gibson. He's more of a solid guy at $5,000, a solid cash game play. You're almost going to get, Taj Gibson's going to come in, he's going to give you 25 fantasy points, and he's going to piss off home. And that's pretty much what you want for a cash game. 5x value, just bang it on the nose. And I like Pau Gasol at $8,700 as well. There are a couple of other good power forwards on the slate, but Pau put up almost 50 in the last game. He's got a 40-point average across the last five. Yes, the salary is pretty high, but see how you can fit in some other spots, because this is a spot where power can go big. And from memory, I think he absolutely destroyed the Bucks in a game last year. Greg Monroe at $7,400. I reckon he's not a bad option as well. He's at a 34-point average across those last three games. The Bulls are terrible against centers. We've seen that time and time again. So this could be an opportunity for Monroe to go out there and go for 40, go for 45, and have a real big game. His minutes have been a bit limited lately. Hopefully they just unleash him and let him go big. Speaking of unleashed, Jimmy Butler was that in the last game against the Raptors. He's at $8,300. He's almost a lock for 40 points at this point. A 46-point average across his last three. And at $8,300, you know he's got the opportunity or the ability to go over 50. So I do like him here. Jabari Parker's probably a sneaky play, $4,400. Less than 20 average across his last five, but the last few, definitely improving. 32-minute average in his last three games. The production is increasing. Just someone to have a look at if you want to be a little bit different in one of your lineups. Derrick Rose, we'll leave him alone. And Giannis Antetokounmpo at $6,900, just not getting it done at the moment. Not sure I really want to get him out there. OJ Mayo, you look at his numbers and you go, that is, it's like looking at a pool of vomit, to be honest. 6.27 average across the last three. A couple of factors there. He was ejected in 2 minutes in one of the games, and the return of Jared Bayless had cut into his minutes. Bayless is not going to play here. He's hopefully not going to get ejected in this one, Mayo. So we might see 27 minutes out of him. I predict his ownership will be pretty low. So in a tournament, you might get OJ Mayo out there at $4,600. He might put up 30 points, and there's your 6x value. And that's a great way to start off a lineup. I'm not banking on it. I'm not putting massive confidence in it. I'm probably not cash gaming him, but there's definitely something there. Michael Carter-Williams at $6,700. He's been really, really good lately, averaging 35 across the last three games, consistently getting that sort of number as well. And the Bulls' backcourt is not good defensively, so I think that he is worth a look. And Chris Middleton at $6,800, an extra $100. He's actually averaging less than Carter-Williams across the last five games and across the last three games. So for as hot as he'd been, he's cooled off a little bit here, and the matchup isn't quite as good for him as what it is for Carter-Williams. Not much else I think we really need to talk about. John Henson's always got tournament potential, but his role is too volatile for me to really look at using him too much. The New York Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks are favored by 8.5. The total is 204 in this one. Kyle Korver and Thabo Sefolosha are both listed on the injury report as probable with their ankle. There is zero chance that they miss, from what I understand. Thiago Splitter is out with his calf, and Lou Amundsen is questionable with a lack of NBA ability. As for the fantasy value, Jeff Teague stunk in the last game. People might be off him at 6,400, going up against Jose Calderon. Can he give you 35 points? Well, he's averaging 32 across his last five, so yes, I think that he definitely has that sort of upside here. Kyle Korver got hot in the last game at 4,000. Don't really love using him given the way he's been playing. And Kristaps Porzingis at 6,200, his salary needs to drop. He's not giving us that sort of production at the moment. Only a 23-point average across the last five. Maybe this is a game that he turns it around, and the Hawks have been generous against opposition power forwards, but I don't want to use it in a cash game.
Porzingis
remains more of a tournament option, maybe. Robin Lopez has kicked it up numerous notches. The Hawks are, as I said, they are generous against big men. At 4,100, he put up 38 in the last game, 29 points in his last three, averaged 27 minutes across that time frame as well. The thing I'm a little bit concerned about is the Hawks can go small, and they're quite mobile with Horford and Millsap, so maybe that means that there's more more O'Quinn, there's more cock action, there's more Porzingis out there than Lopez, and that could restrict him. But even in some limited minutes in some of the games, like in his last game, just 24 minutes for Lopez, 37.7. He's on a hot streak. I'm okay with using him. Jose Calderon at 4,100, a real cheap point guard, an easy matchup for him. He didn't play much in the last game, but it was a blowout, and the Knicks got Jerry and Grant out there and ran him some more, which I'm a fan of. But I imagine they go back to Calderon for another 26 or 27 in this one, and he can be valuable at that price. 7,200 for Al Horford. Not sure I'm really all that keen on that. That feels a little bit expensive, but I do like Paul Millsap at 8,700. He's been playing significantly better recently. 43 average across his last five, and giving you consistent 45 points across the last few. Definitely okay with getting him out there. Although that salary is high, but I reckon that it's between him and Pau Gasol. If you want a high-priced big man, I would probably take Millsap over Gasol, but both of them are nice plays. 5,700 for Kent Bazemore. His salary is not at the right spot. It needs to be closer to 6,200. He's almost a lock for, say, 28 points a night. 30 points is definitely within his reach. His upside's not massive, but he's pretty consistent for a cash game, and you'll like that. Speaking of not a cash game play, Aaron Aflalo. In his last five games, he's had a 44-point game and a 3-point game. That's not cash game there. The 44-point game was his last one where he was out of control and basically someone else was in his body and pulling the strings, because that's not who Aaron Aflalo is. At 4,600, yeah, in a tournament maybe, but please, in a cash game, there are many other directions I would rather go. And Carmelo Anthony at 8,600, there aren't really many good high-price small forwards on the board. Melo is worth a look. The price is expensive, but you know you're going to get pretty much 34 to 35 points out of Melo on most nights, and that's not a terrible return, especially if you start getting 7, 8, 9x from some of your other value plays, which is possible on this Tuesday slate of games. The next game is the Sacramento Kings and the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks are favored by 5.5. The total is 212. There is a lot to look at in this one. Darren Williams is questionable with his hamstring. It looks like he's a chance to play, but I think he'd be on limited minutes anyway. But if he's out, obviously JJ Barea is the guy we take a look at. Devin Harris looks like he is going to play after having a back strain in the last one. And Sacramento, there's a few injuries. Ben McLemore and his back, Omri Caspi and his back, and Willie Cauley-Stein and his finger. Cauley-Stein is probable. Caspi and McLemore are both questionable. Now, obviously, the one you want to look at there is Caspi, because if he misses, then Ballinelli becomes a guy to have a look at. But Ballinelli at 3,800, he put up 26 points today. He's actually averaging 27 across the last three. The Mavericks are not a great matchup for shooting guards, but he's definitely worth looking at if Caspi is out of this game. I'd be looking at adding Ballinelli in a lot of situations to allow you some extra salary. Chandler Parsons has been letting people down left, right, and center, but this is a very nice matchup. The ease ranking for him is fantastic. He's at 5,100. It's not a high salary. Prior to this stretch of about three games where he's been terrible, he'd been putting up massive numbers. So I'm okay with using Chandler Parsons here. JJ Barrera at 4,600, more of a guy if Williams is out. But even then, if Williams is out, definitely he's someone to look at. And Wes Matthews at 5,100. I do like him a lot. The Kings, again, they're very, very fantasy-friendly. We saw what Anthony Morrow was able to do today for the Thunder. And Matthews could be, well, he's Anthony Morrow, but better. So at 5,100, to get 5X value, he gives you 25 points. We know that he can get hot and give you 35, 36. So there's significant upside with him. Boogie Cousins, 9,700. Salary hasn't adjusted. Dropped 60 today. He's averaging 48 across the last three. Love him as a high-priced center. Dirk at 6,900. I don't think I want to get too involved with him, but the Kings do allow power forwards to go big. Serge Ibaka went massive today. Could Dirk do it? Yeah, he's got potential, but I don't think I'd invest too highly in him. Rudy Gay at 7,000. That salary feels too high. Rajon Rondo, 7,800, put up 58 points today. It is a revenge game. It is a massive revenge game for Rajon Rondo. He seems like the kind of asshole who would really enjoy getting revenge on someone. He's heading back to Dallas. There's going to be booze coming out of nowhere. He could lose his shit and be out of the game in a minute, or he could put up 25 assists. Rajon Rondo, it's 7,800. It's under 8,000, which I'm happy with. This has got revenge game. I'm a prick. I'm going to kick your ass. Written all over it to me. I think there's massive value in Rajon. Actually, not massive value. I think there's massive potential for him to have a big game. He could also go completely ass up and he gives you nothing. And that is a risk that could happen, definitely. Zaza Pachulia has been strong lately. 6,600 is his salary. And amazingly, his lowest score in his last five games is 31.9. That is amazing. His highest score is just 33.8. But he's 32 points every single game, basically. And 32 points at 6,600, it's almost right on 5x value. So you can look at Zaza and think, I'm going to get 30 points, and it's very hard to say that out of a lot of guys. If Williams is out, Ray Felton might get a little bit of a bump, but he hasn't been really giving us too much lately. And not much else to really talk about in this one, I don't think. The next game up, the Golden State Warriors, the Los Angeles Lakers. The last time these two teams met, it was murder. I would imagine it's going to be again. Kobe Bryant is questionable with his shoulder, and D'Angelo Russell had to leave practice with a sore throat. On the Warriors, Leandro Barbosa is the real only injury we need to pay attention to here. But using guys like Steph Curry at 10,700 when they could have limited minutes, same with Draymond, same with Klay Thompson, it's very risky. The matchup is brilliant for them. Brilliant. If they play. Now, the Lakers are nursing a three-game win streak. Does that mean they're good? No. But do they keep it close enough that these guys have to play? It's really hard. It's really hard to know. Now, the salaries have gone up. 9,700 for Draymond. He's been smashing that value. But if he plays five less minutes, it's going to be hard. Steph Curry at 10,700. That feels too high for me. Yes, he put up 41 today, but he needs to go for more than 41 at that sort of salary. And the matchup is brilliant, but does he play, especially with this sore? Or does he play enough with his sore shin? And they said there's still a lot of bruising in the shin, which didn't sound great today when they spoke to a coach. Is it Jason Collins or Jerron Collins? I don't know which one it is that they spoke to. So he's still got bruising in his shin. That doesn't sound good. I imagine they'll ease him in a little bit in this game. And Klay Thompson at 7,600. He's probably the guy I feel a little bit more confident using out of those players. But still, there's a big risk factor associated there. Jordan Clarkson at 6,100 has been playing a lot better lately. 28-point average across his last five. Not a great matchup for him, though, so I'll probably steer clear. There are other guys I would use. D'Angelo Russell on the bench, sore throat, no thanks. Lou Williams at 5,700. He's been great lately. I can see using him as being a definite great option. Kobe at 6,900 is too high. Harrison Barnes at 5,200, coming back from injury, no thanks. Julius Randle at 5,600, just too sporadic with the minutes. Larry Nance at 4,300, I like it. He's got a 26-point average across his last five. He put up 32 in the last one. The minutes are trending up. The production's trending up. I think that Larry Nance is a really good, cheap option for today. Definitely someone that I'd be considering. Brandon Bass at 3,800. Yeah, maybe in a tournament. You could see Byron Scott giving him 30 minutes. Not the most ideal matchup, or not the most ideal play. And Andrew Bogut at 4,300, just not returning value, even with Festus Ezeli out. And Ezeli should be back for this game. Andre Iguodala at 4,900. Look, the matchup looks good for him, but with Barnes back, with Rush back, with Barbosa perhaps back, they could restrict Iguodala's minutes in this one, and that's not a situation that I'm all that keen on using. All right, that is the it for the podcast, guys. I'm going to bring up the daily fantasy plays of the day on the screen. At point guard, Jose Calderon, 4,100. Jeff Teague, 64. And Rajon Rondo, 7,800. At shooting guard, OJ Mayo, 46. Wes Matthews, 51. And Jimmy Butler at 83. Small forwards, Nikola Mirotic, 4,700. Chandler Parsons, 5,100. And Carmelo Anthony, 8,600. Power forward, Bob Portis at 3,900. Taj Gibson, 5,000. And Paul Millsap, 8,700. And the centers, Robin Lopez, 41. Greg Monroe, 7,400, and DeMarcus Cousins, 9,700. That does it for today's podcast, guys. Make sure, if you are listening to the podcast, subscribe on iTunes. It is very, very straightforward. Go and do that and leave a review. It is awesome. And remember, if you're in a band and you want your song on the show, let me know. I'm always happy to promote stuff that you guys do because you have been fantastic supporters of the program. Follow Basketball Monster on Twitter at BaskMonster, and the website is Basketball Monster, where you can check out all the brilliant tools that we have over there. Great forums, great discussions, fantastic daily and seasonal tools for your use as well. And HardwoodParoxysm.com, churning out quality articles day after day. The guys over there do a great job, and all the sister sites as well. Nylon Calculus, Upside and Motor, Friendly Bounce, all that sort of stuff, covering the NBA from multitudes of angles. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.